Coming in the True Faith Radio Show, I'm Alex Hurst, joined this week by Cy Carmel and Ben Wade.
Hello.
We thought Bolland might have been coming, but he's not, unless he turns up halfway through. So this week, we are going to talk about Newcastle's massive game. It's a massive weekend, really. Could be the weekend which decides nothing. It could be the weekend which decides everything. We'll look at Newcastle against Crystal Palace, all sorts of things. We'll talk about Allardyce. Pardew, that's what I meant to say, they're not Allardyce. We can talk about him as well. and we'll also talk probably a little bit about Leicester, possibly making history this weekend. Then we're going to make history anyway. Follow us on Twitter, TF Weekly Pod. Appreciate everyone who leaves us reviews on iTunes, 5 stars. Size open. What was that, a can of?
It's a can of battle tango.
Tango, eh? Last from the past.
What's that? Bring the tango close to the microphone.
No, bring your face closer to the microphone.
Are they your own headphones?
Do you want me to eat the microphone like Dogger last week?
Are they your own headphones, Ben?
No. Where would I have got these from?
I don't know. I think we're already on of invested in new headphones.
I don't think they have. We've had these for like ages.
All right. It's just nice to be...
Well.
Look who's here.
Bolland, we're not live. We're postponing the radio show just for you.
Look what the taxi driver dragged in.
Yes.
You're going to have to switch.
This week... sorry about this. This week, Newcastle play Crystal Palace. Who's nervous?
Not me.
Not you, Ben. Go on, Ben. Tell... You're practically the only Newcastle fan in the world who's like not absolutely papping themselves.
Palace are terrible. They've literally got one player.
Who is?
In Pelassi.
Oh, right. Not even going to count Caballé or Zaha.
Average. Zaha's a two-hit miss. He can do some good stuff, don't get us wrong. He's tortured us a couple of times in the past, but I just don't think he'll turn up today. There's too much riding for Newcastle. We're in really good form, especially at home. We just look organised for once. Like, we're not going to be the gag-easy team that we've been watching all season. Like, we're going to be tough to beat. And I don't think Palace are going to have the stomach for what's going to be coming at them. And I just think we're in really good form. Everyone's playing really well. I think Rafa's finally figured out his best 11, and he's sticking with it. And I think his substitutions that he's been making have been coming off, sort of working really well. So I've just got complete trust in him that he's going to get out of this. And I can't really see either of the two getting anything.
Si, you're the opposite. You're a bit more nervous.
I was fine this morning, and then I seen you all having patter today just about how nervous you were and talking about how this is kind of it. This is a big one. Which it is. Anything other than a win is kind of game over. Even a draw means that we'll have to win the last two and then hope, really, just hope that that all the gag games the Magnums have go terribly for them.
They'll not win another game.
Strong stuff from Benway. We'll talk about them later.
I'm nervous about the occasion becoming about Pardew and the fans turning on him and distracting from what needs to be just 100% focus on a game of footy and just getting behind the lads for 90 minutes. I really hope that
the lads.
There's plenty of reasons to have animosity towards Pardew, the Jonas thing.
Well, again, we'll talk about Pardew later.
Okay.
Just don't want to use all that crack in the first 5 minutes of the show.
Don't mention Pardew when talking about Palace. Don't mention Rafa in case you want to discuss him later. Probably keep away from all the players. In fact, don't even mention Newcastle if you can. Just might want to talk about them later.
I think it'll be a good weekend. Then Mike's coming up. It'll be nice to see him.
I hope he's listening. When you do that, Ben, goes quiet. Someone else has to talk while you do your hardware. Bolland, playing with your machines. If anyone gets that gag, sorry.
Is this even switched on?
Yeah. If you move about, if you try not to be 30 feet away from when you talk into it, yeah.
I didn't even know if it was turned on.
Move closer.
Even closer.
It's very turned on.
Speak into it.
I'm
sorry, is this turned into some sort of like... I don't think we'll pass the watershed for this sort of patter dogger.
Not allowed to talk about the match.
Alright then, talk about Pardew now. Ruin the whole plan for the show. Go on then, Alan.
Yeah, as if there's a plan.
Alan Pardew, true or false?
False.
Right, Bolland, Bolland, how are you feeling about tomorrow? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
I woke up this morning and was dead nervous, but now I think we're going to win like 3-0. And I'm thoroughly looking forward to booing Pardew. Once that third goal goes in, just focusing all attention on him and Caballé. I can't wait to boo him For those of you who don't know,
let's talk about Newcastle.
Not a massive Cabaye fan. I think we've looked. The second half against Liverpool was dead encouraging. Didn't play great, but ground out the result. As Ben mentioned, we've looked a lot better recently. Palace aren't a great side. There's a reason that they're 16th, is it? 17th. So at home, I think we could smash them. I'm feeling pretty confident about that. They've got a cup final. I can see Pardew resting players. They're safe. They've got nothing to play for. So I think game's there for us to win and win comfortably.
I don't know where this is coming from. I've been terrified all week. Every day I think about nothing else. Like I said to you last night on WhatsApp, I feel like I did when we were good. When it was like you couldn't wait for the match because it was like, get in, you know, we're class, we're flying high, can't wait to go to the match and sing and celebrate goals. And now I just want it out of the way. It's like Derby almost, where I can't think of anything else. I have this perfect utopia in my head of half time tomorrow. Newcastle are 2-0 up, Palace down to 10 men, Sunderland are 2-0 down to 10 men at Stoke. And at that moment, we'll be safe. Everyone will know tomorrow. It doesn't matter about what comes next. Everyone will know if that happens, we're safe. And it'll just be, like you say, it'll just be a massive breeze of a second half. The chances of that happening are, of course, unlikely. Not according to you, lads. But I worry about the atmosphere. Because we all sat here, we did the Swansea preview, and the patter was before Swansea, and it was like, you know, everyone's going to get behind the team, it's going to be massive, it's going to be raged up, and it just wasn't. It was dead nervous for like 85 minutes and then really loud for the last five, and I get the feeling tomorrow could be similar. The first goal's just so crucial.
I think the added spice of Pardew and Cabaye coming back, I think it'll be different from Swansea. I think people are going to be up for this from the very first minute, even if they're nervous. I think St James's Park, at least in the Gallagher end, will be rocking.
Well, I hope you're right. I worry about our fullbacks, who have done great, by the way, the last couple of games. Both Liverpool and
Man City,
really just almost to the detriment of their other attacking areas of play, just concentrated, particularly on the left side. So Man City's flaw was that they played Navas on the right, so they were just like, get Navas the ball and you run at Paul all you want and Perez in front of him, which is probably not a bad plan, but executing it with Navas was the issue. And the same for Liverpool, they kind of moved Lallana and Milner, and it was just, you know, they needed someone with a bit more who was a bit more direct. I mean, we've all seen Dominic this season get absolutely done. I'm thinking Mahrez, I'm thinking, who was it? What was the lad who plays for Swansea, Montero? Just did things to him that should happen to no professional footballer in terms of how easily they beat him. They did, you don't remember when they did, they just did like a little, the ball was coming towards them, a little drop of the shoulder, and dumb it about 15 seconds later. Just came.
Do you mean the Swansea game just gone?
Yeah.
It was Lamar.
Was it Lamar, was it?
Yeah.
Where, like,
Montero had the worst game of all time on the other side against Venonita.
Yeah. So anyway, I think Balassi and Zahara are not going to be as accommodating as the last few lads we've played, and Perez has got to be dropped, but I don't think he will be. I don't think Benitez will change the team. So I'm worried. I still think we'll stay up, so I have to say I think we'll win, but I think it's going to be 1-0. And Palace score, I think there's only Leicester or someone like that that scored more goals from set pieces this season than Palace. So it's a real worry. Palace, 6 away wins on the road. The Palace's away form is better than their home form. So when you say they're rubbish, yes, at home. But 6 away wins is not
safe. A lot of those wins were early on in the season when they were on the crest of a wave. They had a great. I mean, they were in top four at the start of the season.
They've not won away from home since December.
Exactly. So there you go. Beating yourself with your own facts there, Dagger.
It's just like weeks just trying to convince me that we're going to be fine. Palace was giving.
Just like your wedding day, apparently. Like, everyone looks forward to it the night before, and then they get nervous and regret ever meeting that other half. That's how I hear it goes anyway. But I don't know. That's the thing. Everyone,
you're a lucky girl, Hannah.
You've got to say I was right, wasn't I? Because everyone was saying
not yet.
But no one was even giving them a chance of saying it's over. It's done.
What are you right about?
The fact that we could stay up.
Hang on. You 1 minute you're saying we're not winning or whatever, and then you're saying
I just said I think
up.
We'll win. I just said it's going to be really difficult and really nervy. and I just wanted to be over with.
Hang on, Dugger, I know what you're trying to say here. You're trying to say that a few weeks back, when and quite a lot of people were probably writing us off, you were saying we're down. The week before that, you said we're down. The week before that, you said we're up.
I've never said we're down. Apart from when McLaren was in charge.
Any outcome that comes this season, you could say, well, I was right. Because if you think back to...
you want
to
read me match preview, sign through
covered,
faith.
Covered all your bases,
read me match previews and true faith. I've thought, you know, after Southampton, after Norwich, you weren't there. But after New with you, but after Norwich, me and Richie Smith, happy birthday, Richie Smith, by the way, 30 today. I walked out and he was we're done, we're down. And I said, we're not down, man. Look, these are rubbish. And, you know, we were terrible, and you've just managed to beat us with a gag Mike Dean inflicted goal. By the way, he's ref tomorrow. Class. Again, I know he's also the ref for the Man U game. He gave that ridiculous. Was it ridiculous? Who was it against?
The best, Mbemba for them.
Mbemba for them, yeah.
And then the Smalling one, which was my most favourite sort of delivery of a decision you'll ever see from a referee. Just the most.
You've not seen the one against for Spurs this season, last season?
No.
Mike, I'll show you after. It's so funny. Like, oh, okay. He does advantage. Obviously, listeners can't hear this. He does advantage and holds his arms out for the advantage. Yeah. And Spurs score. But he holds the pose and does like a big loop. It's really funny. Google it now, Mike Dean Spurs.
I'm going to get it out for Ben. I'm sure I've seen it before, because people try to claim that he was celebrating.
Yeah, that's...
Because
yeah,
he runs with the players. As if like some sort of Italian 90s like football celebration.
I'll tweet this, by the way, for people listening, if you want to watch it.
That's class.
While you're doing that, the Mike Dean the Chris Mulvaugh, it's like he runs from about 20 yards outside the box into the box and then just pointed at the floor. It's a penalty.
But it's the most like exaggerated, over the top, like theatrical point you'll ever see.
So I take up the lead.
Well, I can't see the video.
That's class.
And I've just described the Mike Dean thing that I know talking about.
So, Bolland, Pardew. No, Kabay first.
What about him?
Tell us why you hate him. Look at Dean.
Of course, a good advantage.
So people were kicking off with Jan Matt, like saying that he was injured the other day and that he wasn't going to play for us because he just spat his dummy out. Kabay,
even though he's injured.
Yeah.
Quite obviously.
Kabay actually did that at the start of that season. Like, this was a bloke who thought he was better than Newcastle United. He isn't. He's playing for Crystal Palace. All right, they're higher than us in the league, but they're a smaller club and they've got a rubbish manager. I liked Kabay, I thought he was a good player, but I always thought Newcastle fans liked him too much, and there's a weird part of me that didn't like that, so it doesn't like him.
This is just the same logic for you hating Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, maybe it's something about my character.
And that Louis bloke, what was he called, Louise or something?
No, I like Luis Suarez, I like him. Doesn't get enough credit. So I'm just not a massive fan. I think he went to Palace and everyone was sort of saying, oh, you know, he's going to change that team. He hasn't.
Do you know, guess how many assists he's got this season?
Six.
Zero.
Six. Isn't it one?
Yeah, one.
Really?
One assist.
That's pathetic.
I think he scored a couple of goals.
But penalties? One assist for a midfielder.
That's pathetic.
For the supplier.
What are we worried about?
Their penalties, there were penalties as well. He scored quite a few penalties at the start of the season. To know anyone who watched him at PSG, you could just see the guy was totally out of his depth playing for them against Champions League opposition. He just wasn't good enough. I'm just not a fan.
It'd be interesting to see, Si, what kind of reception he'll get. How do you feel about him? It's almost been swept under the carpet. There's so much else going on. You'd imagine if Newcastle were 10th or something, and obviously the Pardew part would be, but you'd think it would play a little bit more of a role, but it's too far down. I mean, this is a guy Newcastle fans sang about probably more than any other player in the past 5 years.
Before Si answered that, that's part of the reason as well, because I loved him so much and he just left.
Yeah, I mean, he was a large part of all of our patter for a good 2 years. Don't sell, goodbye. And just, he was like kind of central to the European season and just going around Europe. So, I mean, I loved him as a player when he was here. He kind of had that urge to go to a bigger club. Probably didn't go about it the right way. He was very petulant, very childish about it. And then it was Joe Kinnear, wasn't it, who supposedly sorted the deal and got a bad deal, which was the end of him. I don't care. I've got nothing really to say. I'm not going to cheer him. I'm not going to boo him. I don't really care anything about him. He went to PSG. It hasn't worked out for him. He's had to, you know, take a hit and go back to get some first
come back
football.
With his tail between his legs.
Allegedly on 120k a week.
Oh yeah, plenty of money, but he's obviously wanting to play footy, getting the France squad, etc.
Do you not think it's a little bit desperate from Pardew, who will come on to? It's very Football Manager, isn't it? when you're like, you go to a new club and you're like, right, how can I take my whole squad from my previous club to my new club? And it's like, yeah, right, Alan, we've got some money, we've got about £50 million. Here's a list of class players around Europe who you could get for, like, you know, two. You could get two of those players and pay them the wage bill. I mean, obviously they wouldn't be saying this, but look at Leicester. No, I'd like a 30-year-old Johan Cabaye who's like can't even get on the bench at PSG, please. And they were like, oh, really? It was like, yeah, he'll definitely come. Are you sure he'll come? Yeah, like London, 120 grand a week. He's absolutely class. Are you sure about that? Yeah, he's absolutely mint. Again, also, he's just gone mass, like he did when times were tough on Newcastle, missing, absolutely missing for Palace for, you know, most of this season.
Doesn't finish that many games either. He always used to get taken off for the last 20.
Issues.
So it's just not, I mean, especially he's past his best, isn't he? I mean, he's wrong side of 30 now. And he's not the type of player that's still going to be good enough. He's not like a Pirlo, someone like that, who's just so effortless in his football. Like,
don't even compare him to Pirlo. Just as Pirlo, no. Has Pirlo done it in the Barclays? That's what I say.
In Barclays, I don't know. But he's just not. I don't think he's a. He was brilliant for us. Obviously, giving his dues. I mean, he scored some cracking goals for. And at the time, he was a great player. But I feel like he's. He's not really done anything at Palace since he's been at Palace to make us think, yeah, we probably should have got him back. I mean, he had a decent start, I think. But, yeah, I just think we've got better players than him, and I think we'll be able to dominate them in the midfield, and I think that's going to be the key battle where I feel like we'll be pretty comfortable because the form Tioti and Colback are in at the minute. I don't see him being able to sort of... get hold of the game ahead of those two, and then Sissoko ahead of him. Like, I think he's just going to be having to kick Sissoko every time he just walks past him.
I fancy Sissoko against Cabaye all day.
Exactly.
He'll tear him a new one.
Well, maybe, but
no, maybe about a dagger.
I think one of the biggest problems I had with Cabaye is the timing and the way he left. I was at West Ham, which was his last game, and he was unbelievable. Allardyce that day had no answer. And then he left and played the Magnums like two games after, and Remy got sent off, and it was just like Schürrle and Luke de Jong up front. And all of a sudden the team imploded from there on in, and he could have gone at the end of the season. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like he had to go then, but he just agitated for that move so much. He's one of these players, I reckon, who'll make a lot of money later in his career because of his Newcastle career. He'll not be going back to Palace as a legend. He'll not be going back to PSG as a legend. He'll be doing a Keith Gillespie and a Faustino Asprilla, who both left under like a cloud, but are both now like massive Toon fans. Like, show the club and the fans more respect now than they did when they were playing, and he'll probably be the same. He probably, since he's left and plays for Palace, he's probably underestimated the size of club Newcastle is. You look at Palace, didn't sell out their allocation on Saturday. For Wembley.
That's Johan Cabaye on the TF Weekly Pod 2019. We'll yeah. See you there.
Johan, great to see you. Huge fan, Bolland.
So it's probably best to talk about him after Saturday, because at the minute he's just the enemy, and that's the way that he's got to be treated. You see when people clapped Steven Gerrard once when he came, I hope that sort of thing doesn't happen with Cabaye. Like, if he comes over to take a corner, people are clapping. It shouldn't be like that. He should get booed, he should be sworn at. Like, it needs to be volatile to him. Like, I don't want a Johan Cabaye loving.
Or just ignore him.
Yeah, no, I don't want
to. That'd probably be more good.
Speaking of ignoring, then, let's talk about Alain Pardew, who allegedly is the manager at the centre of the Suns text scandal. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's all rumours at the moment. It could be one of the 20 Premier League managers. I don't know if you've seen. Oh, it's front page news of the Sun on Sunday.
I don't buy the Sun, mate.
Neither do I. But I have eyes and access the internet.
Is this what they chose to run instead of the Hillsborough story?
No, it was before that.
All right.
An alleged Premier League manager who had a lot of texts he was sending to a married woman, and he's also married, and it was like, I'm going to work the players so hard for you.
definitely Pardew.
Some people were suggesting it to him, but we couldn't possibly say. Yeah, Pardew, Ben, where do you stand, and what kind of reception will you give him? I'll get some of the crack.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Like, what a weird bloke.
And you've heard some weird stuff today.
I have. Very true. I'm not really that bothered. Like, he's gone. Get over it. You'll get a bad reception, no doubt. But as I said, I hope that doesn't overshadow what the point we're going on for, to the match footage for, to see, to give the support to the lads to hope they can get over the line. I think Pardew will probably lap that up. He'd love to be the centre of attention. I bet, like, he'll obviously sort of play that, oh no, I'm getting a bad reception, but he'll love the fact that he'll be, he could, if he is sort of getting all the grief, he'll love the fact that he's centre stage and it'll all become about him. And I just think for what he basically sort of left away in the lurch when he did, at a time where we're in a bit of turmoil and obviously things were going badly, and he just jumped ship. And I just think we should just completely ignore him, not give him even a sort of the benefit of the satisfaction of like griefing him. Just ignore him.
If you take his whole tenure in kind of look at the whole thing, he was neither good nor bad. He had a couple of good seasons, a couple of terrible seasons. He went on some disgraceful runs. He went on some tremendous runs. You know, he just was a bang average manager for us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, some daft things happened during that time. But I think he was just more symbolic of just the plight of the club in general over the last 5 years, as opposed to him being any particular problem. So yeah, for that reason, I agree, Ben. Just let him get on with it. You know, he's no different to me now than someone like Glenn Roeder. Like, just one of a few like bang average managers who came along and did a bad job by the end, mm-hmm. and had a go.
I just did a tweet which I've had to hasty delete. Putting out the link to this to listen to us live, and I posted the Mark Dean video.
Again.
I agree with what you've just said, Si, but also I think this is something the fans can cling to. He's like going to make an atmosphere, like what Dodds was saying before about how the Swansea game, the atmosphere was a bit nervous. Like, why don't they just cling on to this? If it gets the fans going, if the first 20 minutes is just everyone kicking off about Pardew.
Oh, it's depressing that Bolland's like, Manny Castle in massive trouble, got Benitez in charge, and we need the opposition manager
exactly
to get going.
I don't agree with that. And also, I don't think that's the sort of end, like, booting off at opposition players isn't the sort of energy it's going to.
It'll be just things like people singing like the occasional song, won't it? Like, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Like,
I'd rather just sing La Bamba for 90 minutes.
Exactly, exactly. We've got Rafa, man. Well. We don't need to worry about Pardew.
That could well happen as well. But that, if that happens...
I'd prefer that. That would be good crack.
That is because people are wanting to have a go at Pardew in a way, isn't it? Though, if you've got La Bamba for 20 minutes solid... Like,
Do it 20 minutes before the match.
Yeah.
Get it out your system.
It's rich coming from me because we're spending more time talking about him on a Friday night. But I think he's best ignored, and... I hate the revisionism of Pardew's reign by people with vested interests. So Alan Pardew was a blooming good manager for Newcastle for a couple of years, like really good, massively worked above his level, above his resources. To, you know, went into the last day of the 11-12 season with a chance of finishing ahead of Arsenal, with the resources they have and the wage bill and the players and the transfer committee. That shouldn't be forgotten. He also had a massive mare the following two seasons, and that also shouldn't be forgotten. So his overall time at Newcastle was just like...
averaged out.
It was averaged out. And I'll tell you what, Alan Pardew was a better manager than Steve McLaren, a better manager than John Carver. The best thing that happened to Alan Pardew wasn't even Newcastle. It was that John Carver replaced him, because mm-hmm. it's made him look so superior as a manager that his record at Palace is overblown, because Palace have done better in Newcastle. Now, he spent a lot of money this summer, bought a lot of players in. Palace have massively underperformed this season. You can't say an FA Cup semi-final it's brilliant, and I'd swap positions with Palace fans absolutely right away, but it's Crystal Palace and Alan Pardew have underperformed this season. They win the FA Cup, they've still underperformed in the
where they were. As I said before, I mean, they were top four after the first 10 games, so I mean, they were turning all the big teams over away from home, and they had a great start and they've just basically imploded. Now he's saying it's for injuries and stuff like that, but it's the same old excuse, isn't it? It's at the end of the day, I just don't think he's got the staying power and the ability that like the top managers to sort of just keep your players focused. And I think he's a lot of that could be the sort of rubbish he comes out in press conferences where he's just was it. I think I saw the other day he spent all his time talking about Louis van Gaal after one of his press conferences. It's just, if you're a Palace player there and like you listen to that, you must be thinking, what the hell is he on about here? Like, talk about us, like, forget about them.
Got Eddie Jones in this week.
You what?
He's got Eddie Jones in the England.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, if you've got to get if you've got to hire people to come in and do your job, like, I mean, fair play that he's getting paid the money he is, but how am I, man, Alan? Like, it's massive cop out.
Sorry, Alan Pardew, success at Newcastle United or not?
Well, I said exactly what you said before you said it. He's just bang average. Two good seasons, two bad ones.
That suggests inconsistency rather than being average.
Well,
because you can't be mint.
It averages out. It averages out.
But I don't know. I think that's a bad. I think he did a good job, and then he did a bad job, and did a good job again. I think overall he was a success in Newcastle, like a painstaking one who was difficult to stomach, and he was a typical. It's kind of what everyone imagines, you know, brash, arrogant Southerners to be. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, like love talking themselves up, take a massive step back and like, oh, well, it's the fans' fault. Obviously not my fault, we lost 6-0 to Liverpool, it was the fans, won the players back, 52,000, yeah.
Yeah, I was a staunch defender of the guy right at the end, like you were, you know, it wasn't until the start of that season where we just kept losing games, and again, he went on a bit of a recovery run, but it wasn't until then that we really kind of gave up on Alan Pardew.
Alan Pardew, between October and November of his last season, won 7 Premier League games, right? That was December, January 15, 17 months ago, 18 months ago, so we're nearly in May. Guess how many Premier League games Newcastle have won since?
5.
Five. Five. We're not Aston Villa, mate.
It's like 10, though.
That was clearly not thinking it through. It's going to be low, isn't it?
Yeah, it was just a Hoyer figure out.
11.
11, Bolensai?
10.
Is correct. 10 well, games in 18 months, which is still disgraceful, but 5 would be done. Considering we'd like won 2 games after he left last season, it would have been 3 games this season would have won. but yeah, 10 games, and that is Alan Pardew's. That to Pardew and his friends in the media, that's his legacy. It's got nothing to do with what he did in Newcastle. It's what's come afterwards. And if Benitez keeps us up, which he will, he'll show Alan Pardew for what he was. A middling Premier League manager who's capable of great things and capable of terrible things. It's just what he is. He needs all of the luck. You see, him and Allardyce and Souness and all the terrible, terrible average Premier League English managers club, British managers club, like genuinely think that luck plays a massive part in things. Like, oh, unlucky. We lost like 7 games in a row, just unlucky. Just having my best 3 players out, whereas other managers just crack on with it and find solutions rather than just like, you know, Pardew was very disparaging about his squad players. You know, after the lost a match, and, oh, we're missing 5 or 6 players today. We had 7 first-team players out. Well, how do you think that makes the lads who stepped in feel? Bear in mind he was playing, like, lads who can't even get in the bench in League One now, like Harris Vukic and Bigger Romana, neither of whom can get in the League One football teams at the moment, so Christ knows what was going on there. Bolland, do you think it makes any difference that it's Pardew tomorrow to the Newcastle's players? Pretty much did all of them play from, apart from Mbemba, Lascelles,
Shelby, Darlow?
No, who's playing the players that are on the pitch?
Darlow play.
At least, yeah. Well, Shelby will not, Wijnaldum will not play. It's not a start.
No matter what.
I think Wijnaldum
will
come
back. I think more than half the first team will have played. Do you think it'll make any difference to the game, to them or not?
I don't think it'll have a massive effect, if I'm honest. It didn't seem to when we went to Selhurst Park anyway. maybe if they, you know, if they hear our fans and they know what our fans are like, they might want to get one over for us, depending on how much they care, which is debatable. But for the players, I don't see it. They'll be focused on what Rafa wants them to do now.
They've sold very few tickets for tomorrow.
Shock. They're just a little club.
Yeah.
You'd have thought more of them would want to come and have a bit of a giggle, wouldn't you? Like, at our expense, because if they win,
we'd have 3,000. Even if we're already relegated, we'd have 3,000 at Palace.
Yeah,
they're bringing 1,500, I think.
Yeah,
if that's coming in. So Ben, tomorrow, we've talked about Pardew, we've talked about Kabai. Where else do you think Palace threaten us at all, if anywhere? Or do you, or alternatively, because you think we're going to smash them, why will we hurt them? And you don't just say because Palace are rubbish.
Palace are really rubbish. I'll give credit. Bolasie's a really good player, but you've got Adebayo up front. He's
probably play Wigan
or Wigan. They're not. They've not got goals. Like, what's your point? They're still two terrible, terrible players. That they're probably again on a fortune. The pair of them being an obscene amount of money to sort of jog around the pitch, like show a little bit of interest when the ball gets near them, the odd time. But they're just the bang average. I think. Their midfield, Jedinak's getting games at the minute. He's a bit of a nut job, but I don't think he's got the quality desired. And then the defence is just, it's championship level. Scott Dan, is Delaney still getting a game for them, I think, as well, isn't he? Hennessy in nets. Like, it's just stinks of championship. So I think we'll, our boys, when they get running at them, Townsend's been in great form. Mitrovic will cause him a lot of trouble, I think, when he comes on, probably. I think even Cisse's, it's the type of game Cisse will probably bag a brace. I think he can cause him some trouble. And then obviously Musa and whoever gets the nod on the left. I think Musa will have a good game tomorrow. I think he'll be afforded a lot of time, just because I don't think they've got anyone that can match up against him to like keep him out of the game. So he should be dominating tomorrow.
Who plays centre midfield apart from Kabay?
So it's Kabay and Jednak, and then
MacArthur, isn't it?
And yeah, James MacArthur. So the three of them, however, man, that stinks of championship as well. Other than Kabay, so they're just a bang average team. I think we'll kill them.
Okay. Sai, how do you see it going tactically? Because the last two home games were very different. Where Swansea, you had us, strangely, you had us kind of very, very, very deep and happy to let Swansea have the ball. We didn't really press them. It was a case of, like, graphically thought, Swansea have gotten out here to worry us until the commitment forwards, which they're probably not. So we played a bit of a waiting game, wanting to get a half-time. We got the 1-0 goal. Then Swansea started to come out and we picked them off. Whereas Man City were very aggressive and pressed very high without having a lot of possession. Do you think it's going to be more of the same against Palace or more of the latter? What would you do?
I think it'll be more like Swansea. I think you'd be wary of the likes of Zaha and Bolasie and the pace that Palace have got. You'll probably want to sit deep. You'll want to give us a chance to just kind of absorb some pressure and just do the sensible thing. If we go all out, kind of out the blocks too fast and concede an early goal, it just puts so much pressure on us, because this is a must-win game. We don't want to concede in the first half. We've got players that can come on the bench. We can score goals in the second half. So I think the sensible thing to do is obviously just to take it easy, build the game up slowly. I think that Perez comes out that team and Wijnaldum goes back in, personally.
I agree that should happen, but he won't.
You reckon?
He played that team against Liverpool for the first time in 102 games. He didn't change his side. That's a big thing for him not to do, so he clearly rates that side.
To play three in a row will be the first time in like 400 games. So I don't think it follows that he definitely keeps the team again. Perez was awful again at Liverpool, and Wijnaldum can't offer any less, and at home he's been alright. So he's had a bit of a kick up the backside in terms of he's been dropped. He's had to take that in and work his way back in the team. And he was decent in the second half of Liverpool. He was decent against City when he came on. Probably should have scored.
He's better now. He's been moved out to the left again, where he's played all his best.
Oh, absolutely. I'd keep Sissoko central and stick him out on the left instead of Perez.
I just think the Rafa's like latched on to what we've said in the past, what everybody knew. This Newcastle side can only really play games like as a counter-attacking team.
Yeah.
They're not good enough to go and dominate teams. I mean, other than the odd games like West Ham, where we absolutely battered them, took them to pieces. But we don't do that. We've done that once in however many games. West Brom
as well.
The games we'll have won is when we've picked teams off, and especially with the side we've got, with Sissoko playing behind, the strikers through the middle, he's just got that freedom to sort of just run off the back of midfielders and use his pace and power to sort of exploit space. I think Townsend's been absolutely a revelation recently. He's sort of settled into that team really well, combining well with Vernon, and I just think he's going to he'll have a field day again when he's got space. Like, defenders are terrified when he's running at them. So I just think we've got enough sort of speed and quality in that team. And then sort of the workmanlike, the workmanlike performances that we've been getting off callback and TOA to just neutralise any sort of threat and win the balls back. It just frees those lads to go and do the attacking. And I mean, callback especially, he's been covering big time for Wijnaldum and Perez on the left. Like, he's basically been doing all Paul Dummett's running a lot of the time, tracking back. So I just think I feel like they're going to be they're on a crest of a wave at the minute in terms of confidence. They've both been playing really well. They're back to the best, a pair of them, and I think they'll be sort of the engine room to get with the ball, release the likes of Sissoko and Townsend to just go to town on them. And I think we'll win by three or four goals at least.
I really hope you're right, Bolland. You've seen you share this confidence, and what do you think tomorrow? Do you think it's going to be any different to what Si said? Or do you think, like, if to win 3 or 4, we're not going to play like Swansea? I know we won 3-0 against Swansea, but it was probably didn't deserve to, and it was a bit of a freak couple of goals at the end. Would you rather see Newcastle go out all guns blazing with a chance of winning 3-4 but conceding the first goal, or would you rather it was nervous and tense, and but at least you know we're not going to concede?
So I think it will be a bit like Swansea, because Rafa's not stupid, and like if you saw what happened to us at Selhurst, like at Selhurst we went out and we went to attack and we got beat 5-1. Yeah. Like, we're not going to do that again. And
I don't think we're going to go. I've just said we'll play counter attack football. Rafa, so what's your point?
Win 4-0.
Okay.
Aye.
Thanks, Bolland. That was a lovely point.
And Rafa will know that Pardew can't break sides down, so we'll be really solid and compact, at least for the first half, and then we'll. And then I think second half, when likes of Mitrovic gets involved, I think we'll start really going for them, and it will be comfortable in the end. But certainly to begin,
we all start on Cissé here. Yeah,
yeah.
Got it.
Right, let's talk about something which was said either yesterday or it was said yesterday and reported today. See how many of you think this is a disgrace, because I do. Sam Allardyce has said that Newcastle will definitely win this weekend because Pardew's mind won't be on the game. It'll be on the cup final already, and the players have been on the drink all week, probably. What do you think of that? A, do you think that statement's true, and B, do you think it's you should be allowed to make that statement, Si?
Well, it's freedom of speech. He's allowed to say what he wants. It's a nonsense statement.
No, he's not allowed to say what he wants.
well, you know, within reason.
I hope it's true.
With Pardew, even though his ability to keep cups and leagues separate was poor, he'd always seem to only be able to concentrate on one or the other. He'll know deep down that he wants to finish the season strongly with the cup, instead of just, you know, sacking off the league and losing three games. That's not going to give you the best chance to win the FA Cup final. So why on earth is he going to approach a Newcastle game like this with, you know, with the players already on holiday? What's it? I think that's a daft thing to say. It's a childish thing to say. No. As you said this morning, you just wouldn't get the likes of Benitez making such a comment. That said, Sir Alex Ferguson said something very similar 20 years ago today, and got a similar response from Keegan. So anyone's capable of it.
Despite what Pardew said in the media about like loving his time at Newcastle as well, he's definitely going to want to beat us. Like, yeah, at St James's Park, he'd love it. Like, as you say, he loves to be centre of attention. If they beat us 2-0 tomorrow and we're effectively down, he'll be on the touchline getting his picture taken by everyone who'll have it. Like, he'll love it.
Unless, like the few games beforehand, Mike got to him during the journalist tribunal and paid him off. Which is... been a theory I've been putting out there for a couple of years now.
Like the City and Swansea performances.
Exactly. Just teams not turning up. Although, to be fair, Man City, I thought Man City played alright.
Man City were good.
Yeah.
We were just probably better.
Yeah. Now, I think the Allardyce is just... he's just looking for any... He's trying to like goad Pardew to turn up and be like, well, take that, Sam, I bloody showed you right. When I beat Newcastle, didn't I? Like, he's trying to get a reaction out of
it. Do you think it's because he's worried?
Oh, definitely. He knows they've got like all the work to do here. Like, Newcastle have still got two home games. I mean, obviously the Spurs game is going to be difficult, and then we've got to go to Villa. Like, they've got teams that, although they're mid table, like they're not a good team. I mean, the Sunderland performance against Arsenal last week was an absolute disgrace. Only like bettered by the fact that Arsenal were even worse and they still couldn't beat them. I just don't see where Sunderland are going to win games. They don't win games of football. They're not going to do
1-12. 1-12.
They're not going to do it, and that's why I'm confident, because I think tops there looking at 3 points out of these last four games. That's the best they can do, I reckon. And that's going to take like some performances from their bang average players.
I'll just lay in Allardyce for a second, disagree with you, Si. I don't think it's okay to question. This is the thing. It wasn't okay what Ferguson said 20 years ago, basically saying that Leeds wouldn't try against Keegan's team because they hate Manu.
I didn't say it was okay. I think I just said he's allowed to say it if he wants to.
No, this is the thing. And he shouldn't be allowed to say it. And obviously, people do. I mean, Robert Huth got a 3-game ban for doing what he did on Twitter with... You know, I'd say that you listen, that's not ideal, but... If Allardyce to come out in a week and say that these players have been bad professionals, and Alan Pardew is a bad manager, that's what it is, really, isn't it? Like, you know, a good manager doesn't be like, right, we'll sack off the rest of the season without consequences. Like, it's just a ridiculous thing to say, and it tells me that he needs everything. He got a massive advantage over Benitez, huge advantage. He drew the derby, which we would have hoped to win. He beat Norwich, we got beat. They got the ridiculous rub of the green, whereas we didn't. And I think he got a 4-point head start on him. So he had all of this. Yeah, we go into the match tomorrow with a good chance of us being outside the relegation zone. I think if we are outside of the relegation zone tomorrow night by 8 o'clock, that's it. It's done. We're up. We're safe. There's no way Sunderland and Norwich come back for that. We go into Villa outside the relegation zone with them playing Chelsea and them playing Man U. Done deal. We're safe. If we're not outside the relegation zone, then it's still not over, but it's going to be really, really tough. So that's why tomorrow's so big, and I think Allardyce is just a small man with a small mind who, rather than, you know, on TalkSport every week, he's talking about how fit the players are, how much training they do. We'll keep your mouth shut then, Sam. What's Crystal Palace? What's Newcastle's result got to do with anything to do? Like, if you're that good, if your players are that fit.
Go and win your four games.
Yeah, just go win your games and then say what you want after the season's ended.
It's just Allardyce. I mean, he's just trying to play mind games. I mean, he could have easily come out and said exactly what he said about Pardew, about Mark Hughes.
Yeah.
But the fact is they're playing them this week and he doesn't want to give them any sort of fire in the belly to come out and give them a good scene.
Do you think that's how it works?
What?
Like, do you think, like, I don't know.
Well, mate, in professional sport, you'll use any, like, motivation you can. Someone comes out and says you're an unfit professional. You're not just going to, like, turn up on the pitch.
Oh, sure, Allardyce. Like, who's the lad? Who's the lad that signed for 80 million quid from Stoke? And now
Mbula.
Mbula and Shaqiri. You're thinking, he said what?
Nah, I think you do. Like, it's, as you said, it's insulting to the bit. He's basically questioning their professionalism.
But that's stupid to play.
It's not about stupid dogger. It's the mental aspect of professional sport. It's like you look for any edge you can.
Made, sports psychologist. Yeah. We'll put his number up afterwards.
I'm available for bookings. I know Eddie Jones got the nod at Palace, but I'm not too far behind. Nah, it is. You see it in sports all the time. Like, I mean, especially just. When players are looking lethargic and whatever, you want that aggression, you want something like for them to get angry about, because the players will react to that, and I think you're just looking for anything. That's why mind games, like managers come out with all these statements and things. You're looking for reactions from players, because at the end of the day, we're all human, we've all got emotions. You're going to get frustrated. I mean, the fact that we're talking about it here now, it's upset you that he's come out and spoken about
what,
that.
What he said hasn't upset us.
Because it has.
Because it's ridiculous, because it's farcical.
But it has upset, yeah.
It's the fact, I'm more interested in why he said it. And like, because he's panicking, and that's the point I want to get across. How do you think, Bolland, it'll go between Sunderland and Stoke tomorrow? I mean, Stoke conceded 12 goals in the last three games. Hard games, mind. But not easy.
I was going to say, they've been playing a very good in Man City.
Probably the top three Spurs, teams in the country at the moment. Those three.
I'm glad it's at the Britannia.
We didn't concede 12 though.
I'm glad it's at the Britannia, because I'd worry about them going to the Stadium of Light, because there is question marks over whether the Stoke players are on the beach or not yet. I mean, they've got nothing to play for really now.
Pride, Bolland.
Well, that's what you hope. That's why I think being at home, I think that's a good thing for us, that they're playing Sunderland there, not at the Stadium of Light, because at the Stadium of Light, you say that's a winnable game for them, or they definitely have it marked as a winnable game. I think at the Britannia, the best they can hope for is a draw again. Yeah, I think Stoke could be fine.
If we win and Sunderland win, what happens? Do you think we're still doing it, or do you think that's it?
We're same as we are now. So,
yeah, but if Sunderland can go and win at Stoke, that's the 3 points used up, according to Ben. But if they go and win at Stoke, then they've got Everton at home, Norwich away to play, as well as Chelsea. And you've got to think, if they can win at Stoke, there's points. I mean, at the moment, they can't beat anyone without a huge slice of luck. So for them to turn up and beat Stoke at Stoke would be quite a feat, would you not agree?
Yeah, it'd be massive for them. I don't see it happening. Like we've spoken about before, they just don't know how to win football games. Like, they're very, very good at drawing games. I'm not too concerned about tomorrow. I think the games for them that I'd be worried about them winning is Everton at home and Watford away. I think they're the two for them that they could possibly win. I think the rest could all just be draws for them, though.
Fair enough. Like you say, Allardyce, he doesn't go out with a plan to score goals. He goes out with a plan not to concede three.
He's been saying a lot of this week, hasn't he, about the clean sheets, like meaning more to him. He says if he can get three or four clean sheets out of the last four games. Like he thinks that'll be enough to stay up.
It's a big ask, that.
Massive.
Yeah, I mean, that's them. Si, how, do you give Norwich any chance at Arsenal tomorrow? Can we trust Arsenal? Norwich have got a bit of form at Emirates as well. I think they've won there a couple of times.
Arsenal at the Emirates, pressure on, well, not so much pressure on, but you know, after a bad result, they tend to get something.
They can't afford to slip up again.
Just for Wenger to get away with it for a bit longer. It's a sort of game he'll win like 3-0, and then everyone will be praising him again. I think Norwich are out of it. It really is a two horse race now. I mean, it's not. It's a three horse race because they're above us, but it's kind of.
I don't think
that. Who Norwich?
They're above us.
They're a point ahead, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're
both on the same point.
Yeah, they're both on 31.
What down?
So you can't call it a two horse race, but their last four games are like ridiculous, and
it is.
But so,
lots of people have said it's a two horse race now. I'm not sure that's true. Like Norwich aren't a very good side, but the graft and the battle, and I don't think it's
and get done 3-0 off Sunderland
and lose. Yeah,
but it's not inconceivable they could get some from Man United at home. Like it's not out of question.
That's
like,
what one problem. So this weekend it's Man United Leicester. We need Man U to win, don't we?
Yeah.
Big time.
We need Man U to win, and if Southampton could do a favour at Man City and pick something up, it means Man U going to that Norwich game with a real chance at top four, which, by the way, leads me to my, apart from Newcastle staying up, something going down with Villa, the best thing that could happen is Man City lose out on the top four, Man United come fourth, Van Gaal gives it the biggest, like, bigger than you've ever seen, slating all his critics, even though fourth is still a massive failure for Man United. And Man City win the Champions League. And Van Gaal's left there. Like Red Cup is bitter.
What would happen if Liverpool win the Europa League?
No,
does that special, not impact it?
Special spot.
That's a special
for
one,
it, yeah.
Is it? So we'd get five in
like
there.
Like Spain had five this year with Seville.
Yeah, we'd get that as well.
But yeah, Bolland, Leicester man. I mean, you don't want Leicester win anyway, do you? Even though they've won it. But
no, I'm not interested in Leicester win.
Not interested. So you'd be happy for a Man United win this weekend.
To be honest, yeah. I'm just looking at the table now. Stoke on 47 points. It's unlikely, isn't it? They're not going to catch Liverpool, who are on 55 for Europe.
No. We're four not with three games to go.
No, they've got four. Oh, no, they've got three, sorry. They've got three, aye. Read it the wrong way around.
Are you listening, Stoke fans? You could make it.
Yeah, no, but, I mean, I think it's the fact of, though, if you want to keep attracting the big players, you've got to finish as high as you can. Like, people are saying our players are on the beach and all the rest of it. It's rubbish.
Yeah,
like,
it's £1.2 million per
player.
So
I was going to say as well, money, especially for the likes of people who are writing off Everton. Well,
but do the players care about that?
Nah, but I think there's an incentive there. You're playing for your professional livelihood. I mean, if you have a bad end of the season now, you're getting replaced next year, aren't you?
When is someone going to talk about the job Mark Hughes has done?
Should we just dedicate the last 10 minutes?
To the job that man has done. Linked with Everton, isn't he? Seriously, they reckon it's Everton at the end of the season. Also, just this is totally off topic, lads. What do you think about Stoke renaming their ground, the Bet365 Stadium, Ben?
Absolutely love it.
You're just going to wake up, what, like 5 o'clock in the morning, you're there.
in Stoke, just a kip on the pitch.
Ben likes Bet365, you don't get that in joke.
Not just them.
So you've branched out.
Well, let's not, well, I'm just trying to be fair to all the other betting companies.
All right.
but yeah, Bet365.
I'll slag off some betting companies. When I was about 20, at uni second year, I put a bet on a horse. And we danced tips, and it we got it at 24-1. I put £200 on. It was written on the sheet of paper 24-1. Winning it, lad, bro, because expecting money. And the game is like odds of like 11-1 or something. And I was like, whoa, what's this? He goes, oh, you only got 11-1. You only got the price when it started.
Didn't hit the thing.
He goes, you didn't circle your odds. And I was like, talk about your Robin so and so here. Like, I didn't circle me odds. You took me money from us. So, Ladbrokes, not find me and your terrible, terrible adverts trying to promote horrific lad culture. Gone off topic. Right.
Let's go back on
track. Or William Hill or any other establishment.
We could go rogue. What are the rogue ones? Like 137bet.com? Just numbers.
Turd sport.
anyway. University bets or something like that.
Mark Hughes, Dugger.
Mark Hughes, the job he's done.
Silence.
What do you think about the Everton situation here? I mean, Everton fans are going wild. Don't get any stick, really, do they, for being deluded like we did? Yeah. Pretty much.
But what better from their team, who are underperforming significantly? It's mental, isn't it?
I don't criticise. I'm criticising the media, because when we wanted Pardew out, it was like it was basically the most unreasonable thing.
Yeah, that was the sarcastic tone of my point.
All right.
Have they had a van with sackmartinez.com on it yet?
No, but he hasn't been as bad for as long.
No, that's true. It's probably time for a change for them. He's not done a particularly great job since his first season. You know what I mean?
Not enjoying this Everton Palace side.
With their new investors coming in as well, they can probably strive for a bit better. Mark Hughes would seem absolutely balmy decision. Like, if you're going to get rid of Martinez, why bring in Mark Hughes?
Because all the crack is, people say he buys well. He bought company for £6 million as a midfielder.
He also bought Roque Santa Cruz. Like,
well, I'm Rabinha for £2 million and a host of other.
I'm not saying he's good at buying, but that was the crack. Brazil on TalkSport was like, Mark, fantastic spotter.
Yeah, he's probably one of his mates. You'd imagine
why do I sound like really so far away now?
Are they talking about a new stadium as well? Like, is Mark Hughes the man? Like,
thanks.
No. Just no.
I didn't actually touch your thumb. Just the placebo. Just the placebo.
It's broken again.
Placebo effect.
It's hardly going to pacify any like disgruntled Everton fan as well. Like, oh, we've lost Martinez, we've got Mark Hughes. Like,
do you think they should go back to Moyes? Because that's a pattern as well. No.
Moyes is a good manager, but I don't know why.
Do you see Moyes managing a relegated Newcastle United in the near future?
I wouldn't be surprised if he turns up at Celtic, but we'll save that. We'll save that.
Right, quickly, let's move on. Yeah. I think I can't see them going back to Moyes. I mean, the job he did with Man U, when he had all the money and they couldn't buy anyone, like, he's not the type of manager that's going to attract the big names that they'll want. They'll need a big sort of stars in the naming lights. Yeah, someone like that, someone with a naming lights that'll be able to attract. Like all the big players, I think there's much better candidates out there as well for the type of football Moyes would come back and put in there. It's not what they're looking for, and I think especially they're probably losing Lukaku. Really, the need, they're going to have to replace him big time, because he's basically kept them up this season. Really, if you look where they would be without Lukaku, they'd be in serious trouble. So I think they're going to have to go out and sort of sort of build that team. I mean, the midfield's quite weak at the minute, I think. They've got a good defence, but just Martinez completely neglects that. So I think if they've got a proper manager in there, I mean, there could be a really good team. I mean, the money they apparently quoted to be getting, it's like £200 million or something, war chest, isn't it? You're not going to hand that to Moyes.
Fair enough. I mean, obviously, I thought it was worth talking about Everton because they play a huge part in our survival if we do our business. I think we've kind of run out of stuff to talk about.
You reckon? I was going to say the last 10 minutes of this is so not getting listened to.
Kike Sanchez Flores is struggling at Watford. What do you lads think of that? Well, I think you should go to Celtic personally. Don't be silly, Bolland.
There's no chance of that. He never played for Celtic.
To be fair, I think like Burton Albion looking for a new manager as well. It's the same kind of standard.
Whatever. I'm not rising to this, and I'm not going to torture these two with it.
Or the two listeners that are still clinging on.
Is that 2,000 or 200?
Nah, everyone switched off about 10 minutes ago when this patter started.
Right, lads. Newcastle United v Crystal Palace. What's going to happen in detail, Bollins?
What, minute by minute?
Do you want me to start?
I think in the first minute there'll be kick-off.
You start.
You can have the second minute if you want.
Right, I think that we'll start really, really well. I think we might score early. If we score early, there's a good chance we will go on to win comfortable 2-0. The other thing is, it's going to be someone's going to win 1-0 either way. I want to be really supportive of all the players. I'm going to be. I worry about Darlow. I've watched the goals back at Liverpool, and I can't help but think he was shocking on both goals. And he made a fantastic save at 2-1. Brilliant save. Looked way better live. Me and Ben were right behind it, and the TV doesn't really do justice how good a save it was, but I really worry about him, and I really worry about Paul Dummett. I'm sorry, I can't keep up the facade of like, Dummett did well, he didn't do well. Like, the opposition failed to take advantage of his
many
errors.
Hang on, Daddy, you've been calling for weeks, like, this was one of your points to survival. Was get Paul Dummett back in that team.
Babu's fit now, and he's not playing.
No, I agree, but it's just, I love how you just switch sides just to.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna switch. No, get Verona back left back. Obviously not. Dummett was. It's a huge improvement on that. Still not good enough. Nah, and he gives us against Palace a big side. That's what worries me as well.
I never even thought getting Dummett back in the team would be their solution. But anyway, the Darlow thing, I agree. I think I thought he was at fault for the second goal against Norwich as well. It's gone through him, and he's trying to do some sort of special, like slap the ball over the bar type save, and completely misses the ball. I haven't seen the Sturridge one yet, but at the time I felt like.
It doesn't go to the net fast. He hasn't smashed it in.
It's just beating him, hasn't it? And then the second one was basically sort of free in the middle of the goal, and you feel like top keeper should be saving them. But
the third one's a bit harsh because he turns two players, doesn't he? And he's basically just
He chests the ball. Paul Dummett runs the other way and he shoots. I wouldn't call it turns anyone.
Lascelles was in the vicinity, I think.
Lascelles was behind Dummett, so couldn't see Sturridge. Yeah.
So then Darlow probably couldn't see Sturridge either. Which was my point anyway.
Over the line.
Yeah. But anyway, he's the third choice keeper, isn't he? So I'm not going to like sort of lay into him.
He's better than Jack Anik and Rob Elliott.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if he's better than Elliott now. Now I've seen the two of them play a few games.
He certainly communicates better with his defenders and doesn't.
He cannot kick though. He cannot kick a ball. Like he kicks it out of his hand and the ball barely goes past the halfway line. He's terrible at it. But anyway, let's not have a go at Carl Darlow. He's gold. But anyway, I think CCL get a couple.
Scoring his last three games against Palace.
Yeah,
I'll worry about CCL because if Pardew knows anything about CCL, and he should, it's just his first touch is so disgustingly bad.
Have you just turned me off?
No. just turned Bolland down because the echo was quite bad.
If Pardew should know Cisse better than anyone, and you should know that his first touch is so bad that you just have to mark him really tight, and then he's pretty much redundant.
Then Cisse scored against Palace twice with Pardew and Charger.
And those
only Newcastle player to do so.
Those terrible touches have got a pretty good chance of going straight into the path of Sissoko.
Or just straight in the goal.
All that as well. Yes. Now, I think Cisse scored twice in the first half. He'll come off to rapturous applause at about 60 minutes, and then Mitchell will come on and get one, and I reckon Townsend will score.
Townsend's a man, isn't he? What, three goals? Has he got three goals?
Three? Chelsea.
Yeah.
Three
goals and five assists or something mental like that. He starts a full season with Newcastle in the Premier League or any team, and he gets, like, plays 38 games, he'll have an output similar to or better than Omar Bear.
He's got. I'm so impressed that he's got a couple of assists from the corners. Like his delivery in at corners, brilliant. I don't remember him ever taking them properly at Spurs, but I suppose he had Eriksen. But I think he's going to be key tomorrow, and I reckon Musa will get a couple of assists as well.
I think that's about it, lads. I know what I asked for details, and I've just done it myself. So how do you think it'll go then, lads? Quickly.
2-0. Cisse.
2-0, 4-0. We're not conceding a goal here. Clean. Have that, Sam Allardyce.
We won't have time. We'll be battering them that much. They'll just be like, oh, we've got to let Palace score. Oh, let someone else score. We'll let Spurs score on the last weekend.
I would quite like to stay up not keeping any more clean sheets just so Allardyce is getting angrier.
The way I'd like it to go is for them to score first and early so the fans are really enjoying themselves and Pardew is, you can see him on the touchline gloating, and then for us to smash him like 4-1. Like that would be ideal.
I don't know if I could. My heart could that. Take that. Like, if we go over hike, I'm in the box tomorrow, and it's awful when you go in at half time, and like they have the highlights of the game on their like, and they just play the same highlight like five or six, seven times, and if Newcastle had no shots, it's that they're showing throw-ins, they're showing like tackles, and you're just like.
Paul Dummett pointing at someone.
It's just like almost immediate, like they score, they're really happy, and then all of a sudden we're just back in it and we're just smashed them. That would be ideal. So Pardew can look like he's happy for
it. What a ridiculous way to want it to go down. just win 3-0 comfortably.
No.
I'd rather Palace didn't have a shot than wanting them to score just to rub it into a man.
Nah.
I've never met.
And their fans as well. Nah.
This was True Faith Radio Show. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back on Monday with the podcast.
Goodbye.